Father, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, now that the Supreme Court has said that we can open meetings with public bodies in prayer, are we going to do that here? Is that appropriate? I have one to offer if the chair would accept.
No.
Oh, God, let's get on with the meeting.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we were going to have the rain stop.
I'm sorry.
I thought maybe we were going to ask for the rain stop.
That's too drastic. Huh.
Yeah. And roll call and open meeting certification.
We're all good. Everybody's present. We posted. We're all good.
Sounds good. Approval agenda.
Make a motion to approve it as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Would you mind, Brian, reading the minutes from last month?
Sure. We have two meetings. We had the regular monthly board minutes dated April 14th, 2014. The regular monthly meeting of the Town of Concord was called to order by Chairman Bill Ingersoll with Ted Miller, Lloyd Zastro, Brian Newman, and Jim Zastro present. Bill led the assembly in the Pledge of Allegiance. Brian Newman, clerk, certified the meeting had been properly posted. There's a motion by Lloyd Ingersoll.
Lloyd Ingersoll, hey, new brother. How about that?
I'm guessing that was Lloyd Zastro that made that. And seconded by Ted Miller to accept the agenda with the removal of the county road aid petition. Everybody was affirmed and nobody opposed. The motion carried. Brian Newman, clerk, read the minutes in the March board meeting. There was a motion by Lloyd Zastro and seconded by Ted Miller to accept the minutes as read. Everybody affirmed. Nobody opposed. The motion was carried. Lloyd Zastro, Plan Committee Chair, gave an update from the Plan Committee. The committee met and discussed the Mark Redman request to rezone his property at West 326 U.S. Highway 18 from an A1 to an A3. After a brief discussion, there was a motion made by Lloyd Zastro and seconded by Ingersoll to approve the zoning request by Mark Redman to rezone his property at West 326 U.S. Highway 18 from A1 to A3. Everybody affirmed, nobody opposed, the motion carried. Jim Zastro, Treasurer and Statements report, there's a balance of $3,026.56 in the general fund, $286,071.39 in the money market account, and $43,925.21 in the equipment fund CD. There's a motion made by Ted Miller and seconded by Lloyd Zastro to accept the Treasurer's report as read. Everybody affirmed, nobody opposed, motion carried. There's a motion by Bill Ingersoll and seconded by Lloyd Zastro to pay the bills as presented. Brian Newman, clerk, presented that the county has approved the four ordinances that were submitted for our recommendation back in February. All four ordinances were passed: the mobile tower siting, the adopted reuse of barns, the revocation of conditional use permit, and the non-conforming uses, structures, and lots. Please see the Jefferson County website for full details of these ordinances. Bill Ingersoll stated that it would cost the town $5,600 for the gravel edger attachment. At this point, he has not seen a demonstration and wants to see this first before we consider purchasing this piece of equipment. There's a motion made by Bill Ingersoll and seconded by Lloyd Zastro to approve Jack's Auto Ranch, a used car lot license. Everybody affirmed and nobody opposed. The motion carried. Deputy McIntyre from Jefferson County Sheriff's Department addressed the board and asked if we had any concerns he could bring back to the Sheriff's Office. There's a brief discussion about garbage dump in our community to include the recent tires. Pat Brandt presented a donation of $100 from the Concord Center Cruisers to the Town of Concord's annual picnic, which is held the second Sunday in August annually. With no further business, a motion to adjourn was made by Lloyd Zastro and seconded by Bill Ingersoll. Everybody affirmed and nobody opposed. The motion carried. Switching to...
Do you move to the annual meeting until the next annual
meeting? Oh, we don't?
You're right, that's right.
Well, it's there for people's records.
Thank you.
I move to approve minutes April 14th.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So it says annual meeting one till next year, huh?
Yeah, it's read at the annual meeting, yeah.
So just for point of clarity, can I post these then, or do I post? Because we're supposed to post the annual minutes out of
yeah,
the
board. Yeah, the minutes, just go ahead and post those. But okay. We don't approve.
Okay.
they posted it as unapproved.
Got it. I will do that then. Thank you.
We didn't give you all the details yet.
I'm learning.
Catching up on this,
right? Okay, I don't know. Was there a planning committee meeting last?
There was none.
Okay. Zoning request? There was no meeting, so no request came.
Yeah. That's okay. Tied together.
Jim, you want to give it to the treasurer report?
We don't have a computer.
I can put it up if you want me to. I figure there is more people showed in. If you want me to put it up, I can.
The public wants to...
You guys want to see it?
I don't know, whatever.
You can throw it up on yours. There's not then.
All right.
Go ahead then.
Okay, the April report. The general fund, the previous cleared balance, $11,373.09. Clear checks and payments, $25,407.20. Clear deposits were $102,001.67 for a clear balance of $87,967.56. Unclear checks and payments, $87,861.13 for an account balance of $106.43. The money market, previous balance, $286,071.39. Clear payments of $102,000. Clear deposits, $43,599.56. For a clear balance of $227,670.95. The equipment fund CD, there was no activity, so the ending balance is $43,925.21.
I make a motion to accept the treasury report.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Payment of the bills.
There were two payments I noted at the top of the sheet that are not in this pile. One was to the Watertown Unified School District for the October through January school district fees collected from the mobile home park. They get a certain percentage of that, and that's $9,300.97. And then We Energies, I paid the monthly gas and electric bill for the community center and the town hall. That total was $2,413.09. So the expenses I'm looking for approval. The first one is Ernie Bankert, 89 hours for the highway. Then Bill Ingersoll, his monthly salary and four per dimes. Ted Miller, his monthly salary and three per dimes. Morris Gitterman, 46 and a half hours highway. David Stendel, 6.5 hours, janitor time at the community center, and then he picked up some annual meeting treats for $23.38. Beth Stendel, 6.5 hours janitor.
Yes, yeah, it's
that just went with that for bill.
And staple together, sorry. Lloyd Dastro salary and four per dimes. Jim Zastro salary and two per dimes. Then Jim also has his internet, voicemail, and bank mileage for $71.25. Brian had salary and five per dimes, the election activities, and then the DSL fax mileage, and I purchased a digital recorder for us to use to replace the old one so we can post them, and it's a lot more efficient without having to use tapes. So that total was $192.29. And the plan is to have our annual meeting minutes, so the voice record will actually be online, so you guys can listen to them if you can't attend. So we'll post those afterwards. Getting fancy. And we're on to advanced disposal, the monthly environmental fee.
Before you go any further, so anyone that can go into Wisconsin,
town of Concord, wisconsin.org
or whatever, we can listen to us.
All of our meetings will be recorded now digitally, and we'll just post this MP3 so you can listen to our meetings right online.
It's really sticky, really cool.
So everybody can hear what we talk
about. I'm not going to record your face just to save everybody, but they can listen to you.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Scary.
You can transfer that onto our website.
Yep. With his help behind me over here.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's what we did that.
I know you can transfer pictures, but not.
Some of our planning committee meetings we did several years ago, they were online. Okay.
That's a quick.
Okay. Still online.
We're on associated appraisals, their April contract payment for $787.50. We had Becker Boiler Company service the boiler at the community center, $4,481.88. Vendor Levi Larson and Associates had a phone call consultation with Bill and the noise ordinance. $58.50 for a third of an hour.
I think with 2 minutes.
$200 an hour.
Crazy.
I think that's minimum charge to talk to me or something.
I'm sure.
We get the big paid, yeah.
Tanker General Store, our March gas was $148.25. Dale Connolly, webmaster, $50. Jefferson County Clerk, the April election service and supplies, $210.61. Jefferson County Highway Department should be our last snow charges for hopefully the year, $8,147.41, at least for the season. Doesn't look like it. Mr. John Bender serviced the 98 Chevy 1-ton number 7, $111.10. Tenebrae Pest Control. Tenebrae Pest Control serviced the community center, town hall, and shop. $155. Then Lake Country Heating and Cooling, they did some warranty service. I think that was on the boiler, right? Blower, motor, and fan. So it was just labor only was $67.50. Lang Enterprises, we purchased nine signs and six posts, $438.84. There was two invoices from Menards for miscellaneous shop supplies for $134.18. Then Pat Brandt, the March reporter, $50. Watertown Ace Hardware and one invoice, miscellaneous supplies, $76.96. Finally, the Wisconsin Inspection Agency, the 85% he receives is $1,371.56.
He actually made a little money.
Yeah, we're starting to get, last couple of months, we've got a lot more permits.
Contact the Wii Energy?
I have not. I plan on doing that this week. You talking about that company, the Saban Electric or whatever that one? Yeah. I'll set something up.
Okay. Otherwise, like you say, give me the builds. I mean, that's the first thing I ask you. How much is the build? So if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'll call them and contact them and get dates and see what we can find out.
Okay. I make a motion to accept the bills or pay the bills.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any correspondence?
I do have a couple of things run through quickly. One similar issue is of last year, Freedom Fireworks / Freedom Firearms. We never issue them a permit, but I guess they don't have a seller's permit to do firearms yet. I think this was the same way last year. Right before the end of it, he cleaned up whatever he had to and got a seller's permit. But they don't have a seller's permit through the state of Wisconsin as of yet, based on the receipts I got from the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Their field agent contacted us again. So
really didn't have it.
He usually sells at the mobile, the community center, or the county general store. So, I don't know if I should reach out to Mike or just let it work its course.
Let it work its course.
Kind of what happened last year. Within a month, they had everything squared away. So
we didn't see it all.
Yeah. But
just so you guys know, if somebody contacted me, too, and wants to put a retail store of fireworks up in that where the guy has a well, I contacted the county and said, is there any permits or anything that have to be done? He said, no. Fireworks would be a retail thing that could be sold out of that store. So I called the guy and I said, we're not really enthusiastic about having a fireworks store in our township. He asked what kind of permits you have to get and different things. And I said, you have to, if you start changing around the remodeling the building, you have to contact the building inspector, but other than that, you're free to sell, you know, retail out of that store.
Well, you have to get a conditional use permit, though, if you don't have to.
No, because that's part of the
that zone.
That's the zoning area that we have now that is part of the Jefferson County thing up there. Debbie told us that, you know, I talked to Rob and Debbie, and he says, no, he's free to do it if he...
I think as long as they're registered with the...
But I told them to contact Sally to get on the agenda if he would like to pursue it, and maybe we can find out if what his intentions are and that kind of stuff. So I don't know if he had contacted Sally to get on the agenda for this month, but she wants. So, and he seemed like a nice guy, and I just told him you know, I can't stop you, but I'm thinking that our community would rather not, but whatever. So there'd be competition, if there was, between whatever fireworks that they were there and the other store, if it would go in. Whatever. Just so you know, it might be in the works.
The only other thing I had was, I think you have in your pile up there, was the town of Exonia got an official bid for Northside Drive for the final price on that. I know we've approved moving forward with it. I don't know if we have to approve at this cost, but it's $10,000 below the thought it was going to be at, which is good news. So the bid came in lower than we expected. So I think our portion was $88,177.75 is the estimate thus far. So I don't know. You guys can take a look at it. We have
do we have to officially reapprove that motion, or because we already approved the deal, that we're okay? I don't know.
Have they approved the dollar figure?
They are discussing it tonight at their meeting. It just came out Friday. It came in under budget for what we expected, so I don't know if we need to do another motion or not. I don't know what the official protocol is.
I think they accept the bid, and we've already told them that we do work with them to the point that whatever they could get it for, we go half. And I don't, you know, it's just like doing any kind of road project that we have gotten, so I'm thinking we don't have to.
I thought that was good news that came in lower, so.
Yeah, that's one of those that saves us $5,000.
But that's,
should we make the motion and approve it contingent on that's who they do? They're accepting nothing, I mean.
I don't mind, you know.
Sure. This doesn't look like. They're talking about polarizing the existing equipment.
I would assume that would be the two stretches that aren't getting gravel.
Correct.
Okay.
Because about a half mile of it was getting gravel, okay. And about a half mile of it,
good.
If you discuss pulverizing.
Gravel pulverizing. That includes the blacktop.
Mm-hmm.
You got one of those.
Yeah. How far are you going with that paving?
From Highway F to Woodland. That's approximately a 1 mile stretch.
It's breaking up pretty bad in that end there.
Yeah, why don't you make a motion?
I make a motion to approve the bid from Arctic National, providing that is who Exonia accepts.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Anything else, Brian?
That's all I have.
Okay. Under old business, I brought up highway equipment again. We took the crack filler came out, and we took it out, and it works like it's supposed to. We're going to try it one more time and see how fast it heats up. If it works, I guess we'll purchase it. Other pieces of equipment that the guys have been looking at, and I've looked at too. One of the things that would help our guys work the roads better or do keep the roads better prepared would be a hot box. And they came out with a demo of a hot box that would fit in the back of our trucks, our big trucks, and the blacktop would stay like 200 degrees. And it would stay that way overnight till the next morning when they went out to patch it and any blacktop left over. It would also be warm and easy to shovel, otherwise it sits up and it's like, it's a little bit difficult. It's cold patch even, right? Even after sets up. It's cold patch is okay, but it's still, it'd be pliable, but we could put some heat to it again. And the unit that we looked at, it's water heated, and if we put the truck in the garage overnight, it would circulate hot water through a heater system and keep the pile warm for the next day. I don't know. It's another piece of equipment. You can look for used stuff. I saw a hot box. I don't know what that would be. Because we didn't see any furnace on it, but it was a V-box on Wisconsin Surplus that went for about $10,000 last week. I don't know if it was a heating unit inside there or what, but it was a tandem thing that you pull behind. But anyways,
how much?
Oh, yeah. Turnkey, $14,000.
$14,000.
Yeah, that means that they pick up the truck, they take it up and mount it in there, and we can, it's probably a 20-minute job, it's all quick couplers. If we don't want unit in the back of our truck when we want to use it for something else. It'd take about 20 minutes to pull it out. But I don't know. A lot of people are using them, and they're selling them to Milwaukee municipalities and stuff. And they're using it for cold patching or filling the potholes and stuff. And that way, when you dig into the pile, it's not a pile, and you can smooth it out. You know, it's because it's more pliable. It's like liquid. And I talked to Ernie, you know, shoulder machine, hot box, which one did he? And I thought he was going to go with a shoulder machine, you know, which one should we get the mixer or look for it? He says, no, he'd rather have the hot box, but they don't have to fight the black knot, you know.
What is a shoulder machine?
A shoulder machine, all it is a piece of equipment that some guy has invented, and he's tweaked it to the point that it's pretty nice. They came out and tested it. It's an arm that's on a little hydraulic unit, and you back up, and you use the present salt auger that, you know, brings the salt over and then has a spinner on it. Well, it brings it over and they have like a chute, and now you bring gravel over the side and it falls into a little basin like that has a blade on it, and as you back up it leaves that much shouldering material on the edge of the shoulder as you back up, and then you have a nice shoulder. And then you come along and you either use the truck that you were holding the gravel with, or maybe a steamroller or our roller that we have, and then you pack down that edge of gravel and you have a nice.
So these two units do different functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one is. And this guy that invented it or made it, and now it's made, you know, an assembly line type thing, he worked for a township where it was half, how should I say, not full time work, two employees, some township up north. And, you know, one guy would go out and mold, one guy would go out and shoulder, and it's a very simple, clean, easy machine. And he brought it over and tested it and or showed us how it worked, and it's a very easy piece of equipment that one of our guys could go out and say, okay, I'm going to go shoulder down this road and touch up a corner that, you know, our edges, sometimes there's a inch drop on it, you know, and it's not the whole 2 mile stretch, it's on a corner and down the road here a little bit, needs a little shoulder.
So if we're talking about one machine or the other, does it become a question of whether we want nice shoulders or we want roads with a lot of potholes?
Well, no, for years we've lived with not shouldering. I mean, if we have a bad shoulder, we'll take our guys out and they'll shovel off gravel and shoulder up, you know, and you're not going to get very far doing it that way. With this unit, you just back up and this one guy just kind of doing it all in one job. That unit, the shouldering piece of equipment, $8,800, you know, turnkey, ready to go. You have to put a reese hitch on the back of our truck. We don't have one. This unit fits into a reese hitch and locks in, and then it has quick couplers that would fit into our hydraulic unit that we use for snow plowing. And so, again, they pick up our truck, bring it back, and we'd be ready to start shouldering. So, yeah, I don't know if we want any of our this equipment. It's just, you know, our guys, to do the job, you know, do we give them the equipment to do it a little bit better and easier, or do we just continue on the way we are? We got a $25,000 backfill machine that we just spent the money, right? And it's like, you know, do we stop right now real quick, or do we keep going and provide some more equipment for the guys to do their job? I don't know.
But if we repair our roads, we don't have to rejuvenate them from
well, that's basically a lot of our cost. I mean, over half our budget goes repairing roads and maintaining roads. You know, whether it's snow plowing or side mowing with the mowers that we got. We got two nice mowers. We got to fill potholes, and a lot of the filling with this crack filling stuff. The guys, they'll come to a little bump in the road, and if they had enough material, they'll fill up that bump manually, and then they rake it off and clean it off, and it makes it pretty nice and level. And you can feel more than just potholes. You can feel crevices that we have, you know. And I don't know, Ernie talked to me too. We've got a nice paver, not a nice paver, an old paver, very old paver. But it's a paver that works. Ernie made it work. Just like our roller, Ernie made it work, and now Farmington, it's half Farmington, it's half ours. Farmington has our roller, and we can get it anytime we want, but it's ours. Anyway, this paver, he uses it, or has used it in the past, and it's worked. The heating unit underneath, there's like a metal plate that gets hot, and as you put the blacktop off of the back of the truck, it falls in there and kind of like heats it up instantly and then melts the tar, and you have a real nice paving. Well, the only problem with ours is when you put the blacktop down in there, you have to pull the blacktop to the side. You have to have two guys with holes or shovels, and you have to kind of level it off manually. If we could rig up an auger in there somehow so that it would take it to the side, we could actually go out and do little patching here and there, or little scraping or scratching, you know. Yeah, let's say there's like a road and the center is high and the shoulder has a little, you just kind of go over the top and now you filled it in. You could either do it manually or use this paver, because it's only probably an 8-foot paver, small one, but it would do around patching roads and make it nicer, you know. But like I say, the drawback is that you have to pull the blacktop to the side, you know, but we could do that too. Anyways, our guys, if you give them the equipment, can they do it? Yeah. If you don't, well then you can hire it out, but a lot of these big companies, Payne & Dolan, Wolf, they don't want to go around our 52 miles and do a spot here and a spot there and a spot here. They want to do a 2-mile stretch and call it good. Whereas if we have our own equipment, then send the guy out, hey, let's do hillside today. And what do we need to do on hillside? Well, we got to do this spot. We have to do a little shouldering on it. We can pothole fill it. I don't know. We can keep our money in our bank account and say we got money there, or we could spend it and say we got the equipment for our guys to go out and do the work. But I like the thought of keeping our money in the bank. I can't get over that fact.
At a
0.5% interest. At least you got something in there, you know. It's like, but yeah, I don't know. In order to work the blacktop a little bit better, a heating unit like this would make it more pliable, make it much more easier for the guys to go out and pothole fill, and I don't know.
You know, one thing you could maybe do for future, when you do your certain amount of miles of road of blacktop, you can say this year, put that in your bid to have that all shouldered in with it, and then you wouldn't need your shouldering quite as much as you would.
Well, every time that we do any new blacktop, I'm going to use it. You know, like Delafield Road there, we shouldered that, but it's down again, you know, I mean. You either have to have a machine to bring it back up, you know, I've seen the county doing that, or you have to have some kind of, you know, and basically, it's just the edge. If you put and this unit was only a 2-foot unit, and it was just putting a little bit of gravel, so it brings it up to that, you know, if you look on Delafield Road, it's about an edge like this. You hit it with a motorbike, you're going to feel it. You know, you hit it with a car, you're going to feel it. So, do we have the county come back and just do Delafield Road? Yeah, they could come back and just do Delafield Road, but there's other places too, you know. That's why.
Do we put gravel down versus blue stuff or blue chips or limestone?
Well, we're getting limestone is what we've got, you know.
Something that would pack.
Yeah. But like I say, we got $43,000 in the equipment fund. And if we spend the $25,000 for that,
we're down to 18.
About 18? We got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So, it's certainly down if we want to do it.
Yeah, like I say, it's one of those things where you say, all right, if we got money in the equipment fund, it's like, we don't, we got enough for a rainy day. What's a rainy day? And I know this unit that has the hot box that keeps the unit warm, it has like a door in the back that you put it down and you lift it up and it kind of like falls on this little door, so it's only about 2 feet off the ground that the guys take and shovel. Instead of shoveling up on the top of the bed of one of our trucks way up here, this unit has this hydraulic door like, and it, you put a little bit of blacktop on it and it brings it almost down to ground level, and it's nice to work with, you know.
Doesn't it save a lot? Just get you a lot more done for a lot less labor? I mean,
how much labor you save, I don't know, but you're going to get a little bit better quality because the blacktop is going to be more pliable and you can level it off a lot easier than putting it in. Ernie, you have to talk. I don't shovel 5 tons in one day. You and the guys are...
Well, just that it sets up. We can't use the hot stuff because it sets up too fast. Because it ain't as hot as it used to be. I mean, they just cut back when the oil went up high and everything. They cut a little back on the oil and then the heat too. So the blacktop... And when them guys are blacktopping, well, they got everything is hot and they got the augers. It don't matter to them guys, but it gets hard and it gets lumpy.
Well, how about even cold patch? That would even
help. Well, cold patch gets a little hard too sometimes. If the weather ain't warm, you know.
But if
it's really hot, we ain't got no problem. You know, I mean.
Ernie, do you find the hot patch is coarser than
the cold patch? Well, you shovel with it.
Yeah, I mean, but usually the hot patch is coarser gravel too.
We use cold patch, but it's almost a third more expensive than the hot patch. But yeah, if you use hot patch, you've got a limited time before it's no longer, it's a chunk of tar in the back of your truck. So, it's all just food for thought, guys. I don't want to spend money, but those are pieces of equipment that, again, would give our guys the opportunity to keep our equipment, our roads, that much better. But there's pros and cons. I don't know. If you want to talk about it, that's all I did is bring it. They quoted us the two units that we bought, both of them, they throw or knock off $1,000 on the whole, between the two of them, $500 a piece.
So what would the total package be then?
Total package would be about, 21.8.
So you still have about the same amount. It's still going to be put in front of it.
The rest would just come out of the highway funds.
Pardon me?
The rest would come out of the highway fund budget if we chose to.
How long has this $43,000 been in the equipment fund?
Dozen years.
A dozen years?
At least.
For a long time.
When we stopped buying new trucks.
Right, but when you bought the other trucks, did that money come out of there, or did the Ford roadside
the small mower, trucks, so we didn't
like
take
the Ford roadside mower, did that
we
come
didn't take the Ford mower out, we didn't take the chipper out, so we always took that out of general fund, and we still were able to do a roader. Years ago, it was thought that we needed to replace trucks like every 10 years.
I'm sorry.
Like we would to replace trucks about every 10 years.
Okay.
And these new diesels, you know, we only put on like 5,000 miles a year. So, you know, and these trucks will run 200,000 miles. It isn't like the old gas trucks where they wore out. The diesel don't, as long as you replace the wiring that rots off and hoses and what have you, they just keep going. So we haven't had to replace the big trucks. And so the money just sat there. In fact, we stopped putting money in approximately 10 years ago. We used to put $10,000 a year into it. And then the boards back then felt that, why do we do this if we aren't using it? We should just use that to repair roads. So then that's what the board did. They didn't add the $10,000 anymore. So there'd be $140,000 in there now if it had continued to grow. But like I said, we're not, there's not a need to purchase the big trucks anymore. They last a long time.
Well, there is a need, but there isn't. We only got like 45,000 on our 97.
But the, right, the miles are irrelevant because they'll be rotted out before you even think of.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's already gone 20 years, you know, 18 years, and it's still got life left. So, I mean, the need is not there to continually be trading off units. And so. But anyway, that's.
It just seems to me that to improve the service in terms of keeping our roads in shape, you can do anything to keep from having to rebuild them from scratch. It would be a good investment. It makes it easier for the crew, does a better job.
Well, I think that's important too for the guys that are doing it. It makes their job easier.
From all aspects,
you got to look at that, right?
You get better job, and you have happier employers.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a non-thankful job to shovel 5,000 pounds of. And Eugene's shaking his head because he's helped.
Especially when somebody that's a little sharp. You get them bugging on the tailgate, so you put your shovel over your head.
Yeah. Yeah. See, this unit has this like little thing that folds down with a pile full of nice hot tar, and it's right down by the road. I know.
And like you say, the hotter it is, the better it flows. It was better, it's easier to work with.
Mm-hmm. That just seems to me, if you have something to do easy, you do a lot more of it.
You can be done in a day.
And I'm just sort of thinking, I mean, worst case scenario, I assume that there's a way to resell them. I'm not thinking that we buy them wanting to resell them, but I'm just saying there's
always a market for used stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking to see if there's some used stuff out there.
If the guys worked with it for a couple of years and said this isn't working, it's not like we're.
Is that research going to be in the way of anything else that we use that truck for?
No. It'll just be an additional thing that we can move stuff around.
Take it out for the winter for a snow problem.
Is there room in the shed for it?
this is another thing that we'd have to cover up or something, yeah. In the winter when we have the, you know, we're taking it out of there, or any, where we would put it, you know. Put it on something in the back and cover it up with a tarp.
Cave in the slab and cover it up.
Keep it off the ground, you know, and just cover it up. All it is a box, you know.
Metal. All metal.
I don't know.
I mean, my feeling is at this point, we just spent $25,000 on a crack filler machine. Let's use that. I mean, we're looking at another $21,000-$22,000 here. It's a lot of money to be spending at one time, and I'm not comfortable with it. I mean, the shoulder, and you can do some box blade. I mean, do we still got a box blade or rear blade or anything down there for behind the deer tractor? Or that kind of money, $9,000. I mean, you can do a lot of shoulder and pretty good with the skid steer. I mean, we start looking that kind of money. Should be looking at something a little more multi-use. And I understand that the shoveling of the cold pasture is not a great job, but not every job is going to be easy. Or you take the good with the bad, and some is rough and some is cutting long. I mean, it's.
I'd have no problem purchasing the heated box at this time because we're using funds that have been stored. And we can wait on the soldering machine. That could be a next year project if we still wanted it. Because the cold patch or the heated box is going to help the employees out. And that is bull work. It's sort of like shoveling concrete with a shovel. It's heavy and it's not fun. You're out there in 85 degree days, 90 degree days doing this.
We did our road inspections, we drove them. As far as true, I know Bill is talking about taking divots and low spots and shoveling it out and blending it out, and that I understand. But as far as true potholes that we need to fix now, it's not
I don't feel it's horrible right now. I think we fix the potholes we got, we get through this year, we use that crack fill machine and revisit that next year.
Possibility.
See, and my only argument is, you know, like I say, and John says too, we keep that money in the bank at 2% interest and...
0.5%.
0.5%.
Where's that?
And we just say, now we've got some extra money in our account and feel safe about it.
If we had this extra money in the account, why did we buy that last one-ton truck that was junk? Why didn't we buy a better one then?
Yeah.
If we had money in an account that was just sitting there burning a hole in somebody's pocket, why did we buy that junk truck?
You mean that last Chevy?
The one from Dennis.
Get rid of some of that junk.
Why didn't we spend the money? Why didn't the board at that time spend the money and buy a better one?
Dennis was on the board.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Might as well be honest about it.
When the board approved the purchase of that truck, they didn't know it was junk to begin with.
Well, they bought
it. Maybe their inspection was a little weak.
Well, they bought it. The board bought it from Dennis. So.
Why from where?
From Dennis himself, personally. So you being the lawyer, you tell me how that works.
Yeah, it's just a non-lawyer conflict of interest.
And now, Ernie, that's not the greatest truck now, is it?
It works all right.
I mean, you spent a lot of time, you and Morris did, on fixing it up and painting it and making it something.
And we're spending hundreds of dollars on
every month there's something coming through on that.
That's the only truck that's costing us repairs.
It was just a favor to Dennis.
Right. So if this $40,000 is, let's spend it because we got it, why didn't we spend some of that and buy something better?
Why didn't we discuss it?
Well, and if we wanted a second truck, and we looked on, I looked on Wisconsin Surplus, I saw a truck comparable that was going for like $4,000 or $5,000, and Dennis wanted $3,000. So I thought in my mind, with a snowplow blade, $3,000.
And that's where it's different. In my mind, we could have went someplace and spent... I would be comfortable going someplace and spending $20,000-$25,000 on a good truck like that.
In a diesel.
Well, that's over to them.
Well, right, but now you're talking, we got this money, let's spend it. Well,
put that old army truck up for bids and that truck, and then you can buy your equipment. Get rid of it. That was voted on at 2 annual meetings to get rid of that army truck. What good is that?
I don't remember it. I don't remember any annual meeting to get rid of that.
Oh, yes, it was brought up.
I remember.
Not this year, but it was brought up last year.
I would have got rid of it if that's what they voted on. They didn't vote on it.
No, they didn't vote on that.
Yeah, it was brought up.
Might have been brought up, but it wasn't voted on.
But we could sell it and make some money off it.
That's right. Get rid of it. It's not bringing us nothing in now.
Yeah, but it's not costing us anything right now, neither.
Well, it costed us to buy it.
$1,800.
That's a lot of money.
But it saved us about, I don't know, two or three times we pulled out. I don't know how much it saved us last winter.
Just it's no use to the town.
It's a nice pull truck.
Huh?
Usually it's a record to pull our snowplows out when they get in the ditch and stuff. So.
And you can hire somebody for that.
Well, at $1,500 a piece, the truck costs us $1,800.
Yeah,
the record costs us about $1,500 every time they come out.
$300-$400.
It was $400 when they were against the power pole.
Yeah.
And that was a bad...
How much was it?
It was $400 to come out from Lake Mills when it was against the power pole.
If they had to pull them out, it's probably a $300 minimum, something like that. But, and we... That one salt storm, I pulled them out 3 times, so.
Well, I think that's not
Wait, the issue. It's not junk.
Junk.
But anyway, whatever. We could sell it and make some money off it. Well, we paid for 18, I'm sure we could sell it for 10. It's not junk, and it's not costing us any money. You go over there and start it anytime you want, and it's a nice truck. But we could make some money over and above what we paid for it. That's true.
So is the product wasted when it gets set or whatever that you were talking about before?
I don't think we've ever gotten to the point that we wasted any blacktop. Have you, Ernie? you know, you've always gotten rid of it somewhere.
Well, we got rid of it in a deep hole, but I mean, we've got to work around it, you know. And,
yeah.
Well, we did it for as long as I was here. We shoveled it. I mean, it's just something we brought up, and
it doesn't stay in as good either once it gets hard. Yeah. Gets a crust on it.
Sounds logical to get that hot box, but it doesn't sound logical to monkey with that shouldering. I mean, we live in a country. Who cares if the shoulder is 100%
easy? If you don't have a shoulder, you're breaking out kids in the blacktop.
Well, I know, but, you know, we do have a shoulder. It doesn't have to be perfect all the time.
Well, my thought is not to get anyone upset. It's food for discussion. Or is this what I bring it up is because I see Ernie and these guys when they have equipment to work with, it seems to be better. The one thing I always bring up is that doggone chipper machines. Prior to that, we used to put them in the back of the truck, branches, and then haul it somewhere and burn them. And now we throw that stuff through the shipping machine and it's logs this big and it just grinds it up and it's sawdust and it's a box full of sawdust that we can maneuver and get rid of. And I don't know. Right? We can go back to anything we got up there is good equipment, you're right. And Ernie does take good care of it.
But like I said, for my feelings for this year, we're going to spend a lot of time with that crack fill machine. My thought is, Ernie, we just fill the actual potholes, and that we don't have to do any blending, not a lot of big shoveling, just fill the potholes themselves this year and use that crack fill. You can revisit this next year when you want to talk about, like you said, the low spots or the divots or over a culvert or something.
Well, like I say, we get that paver to work, invented a little auger in there of some sort.
You know, that paver the same one that you had with Town Farmington? We never had raked it out when I helped lay blacktop.
We never pulled it out when you were helping?
No, we never had raked it out when I...
Okay, if you put enough blacktop
in there... I worked in the actual, they're always the lowest. But they always had one guy each side just running the levelers, and we never had anybody raking that stuff out. I was basically in a truck, I didn't see how it was doing on there, but I...
If you have enough feed into it, it's going to... Because it... Base of the paver is as wide as the back of the truck.
Right.
So
right.
You're always, but if the blacktop is mounted to the center, you're going to have less blacktop on the edge going into the paver than you are.
Yeah.
But it has to be raised out a little bit. No biggie. But if we could invent some auger system, and I was thinking about it, but and we don't tell Farmington, so it's also now they want it back to use it. You know.
You work at night.
But work at night, right? There you go. It's food for thought.
Yeah, how come you guys parked it for 10 years? Because the damn thing weren't so good.
Well, basically, it didn't fit the trucks anymore.
Decent, our trucks, yeah.
Whatever. We'd like to do a little bit.
But I was just wondering why they parked it for 10 years.
But I know it was said at one point that we can buy it from Wolf cheaper lead than what we can buy the material for ourselves.
I'm just asking. I wasn't one
of them when they were doing it. If we have to go from little spot to little spot, no, Wolf won't go and do that. You're right. If we're going to do a stretch of half mile or whatever, or a quarter mile, then Wolf will come and do it. And we have to just pay for them to pick up and go to the next spot. You know, they'll charge us $500.
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, I don't know, like you said, that you might feel like you want the hot box. I don't know. I'm right in the bubble. I can see that Ted doesn't want to spend the money. I don't feel like, I don't know, I don't want to have money burning a hole in my pocket neither, you know.
My feeling is we got the labor to use the heck out of that crack filler this year. We bought that, $25,000, we're going to use it. The guys aren't going to have time for this. Fix the potholes that need to get fixed. Just the potholes. And get cracked up. If you want to revisit it next year, we'll revisit it next year.
Are there a lot of potholes and shoulder edges that need to be fixed?
Well,
there's a lot of shouldering that's got to be done. I don't know when you guys make the rounds, you must feed it.
You mean where the blacktop is breaking off?
Yeah. Well, it's all crumbling.
Yeah.
That's the way the blacktop is today.
Yeah.
It ain't like it used to be, I'll tell you that.
Leave the potholes on Allen Road,
Well, we don't have to make a decision tonight, and I think what we can do is think about it and then give it some more thought. For us to say, all right, let's spend the money, $14,000 for a hot box. Mm-hmm. It's a big chunk besides the $25 that we just bought for the crack filling machine. And they can deliver it pretty good out on quick if we wanted mm-hmm. to, but I think maybe sleep on it a little bit longer. And I brought it up. I got a quote on it. Let's normally sleep on it for 30 days and think about it.
Talk about it in June if you want to
pursue
it.
See once. So I'm not going to make a motion. Let's just table it until next month, or just think about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If you want. So, you guys don't want to make a motion on it or anything like that? So.
Well, I
make a motion to table it till next month. And
okay. We don't have to make a motion on it. We can just. All right. I second it then. All in favor? All right. All right, so let's go on with the rest of tonight's business. New business, clean sweep. Sharon, I saw you come in. Do you want to talk about it real quick?
I brought you some new posters and brochures and a chemical list. Some of that you can yesterday. The posters are in there. The main reason I'm coming is just to... I'm Sharon Erickard. I'm the Clean Sweep. Wait a minute, what if I got? Probably Clean Sweep Specialist. They keep changing it on me over the years. And I just wanted to come to the town and say thank you for your support. You have sent us a donation yearly to the Clean Sweep program, and we really appreciate it. Clean Sweep is not Jefferson County program. We feel it's everyone's program because every resident in Jefferson County can use it. And by the town supporting the program, it helps keep the program going because funding keeps getting cut, and unfortunately, that's just the way government is today. There's always a way to try to skim off money, and it's very hard once they take funds away to reestablish them. So every year I apply for grants through DEDCAP, and every year they give me less because their funds were cut. We do get the tipping, well, not the big piece, the host fee from the landfill. That host piece pays half my salary, unfortunately. I wish the county would pay all my salary, but they won't. For the programs, they take half my salary off. And the host fees, because of the economy and because of more recycling and because of the building down, one time we were getting like $110,000 with host fees, and now get about $68,000. That's how it's dropped in fees. So that's when we decided to come out and reach out to the towns and to businesses. We get donations from private businesses. We get donations from residents. We have a lady that comes through the clean sweep every year and gives us an extra $50 because she feels it's a good cause. And she comes with her little box of stuff, and I'm sure it doesn't even cost $50 to recycle, but she's there every year and she does this. The hospitals have been very generous to us because they feel it's important to get the drugs out of the hands. The drugs, because it's a whole mixed bag of worms. The more drugs we take out of the medicine and put it for proper disposal, the less chances of pets or our teenage children or our younger children getting a hold of them. And they keep telling me that from the sheriff and from the programs they've gone to, that if they start using your drugs at home, chances are their next step will be something better. And they tell me there's a heroin epidemic. They said you'd be surprised the number of people that are using heroin. And I think it's just quite scary. I don't know if we can, I'm very lucky, I don't know very much about it, but from what I understand, it's a problem. But I just wanted to give you a couple of numbers, too. We did a tire recycling event at the Fair Park for the first time this year, and we put away 7.9 ton of tires, and the cost was $1,563, so about almost $200 a ton. We charged, there's no such thing as free tire recycling, as you all know. We charged people for bringing their tires, and they brought them. It was amazing to me. One gentleman came with two truckloads. It cost him over $1,100 to dispose of his tires. But he got rid of them, and that's good, because tires breed disease and mosquitoes and things like that. So we think we're going to continue it at the Fair Park every year. We collected mattresses. That was a disaster.
Went out of business.
They went out of business. It was, those of you who read get the Watertown paper, you read the article, the Watertown paper was very nice to the business owner. Mm-hmm. The business owner was not very nice to the city of Watertown. After he closed his doors, he left over 2,000 mattresses in his building, which ended up in the landfill. That article didn't say that. He charged people money for bringing their mattresses, and then he closed his business, and there were 2,000 mattresses, so he just hauled them to the landfill. The commodities, like the polyester and the foam and all of that, that could have been recycled, he threw in dumpsters, so the city of Watertown had to haul that to the landfill at a cost. People kept bringing their mattresses, so the city of Watertown had to dispose of over 200 mattresses, which again went to the landfill. And then he sent the city of Watertown a bill for $2,200. And my contact at Watertown did not want to pay that bill. But the city said, okay, he charged us, they did pay it. I don't know, I would have gone to my legal representatives to say he didn't do what he said he did. But anyway, so that was a disaster, but the city of Watertown has not given up. They found out that Ohio Mattress Recycling, so they are going with them. And eventually they're hoping that maybe we can get all of Jefferson County into recycling mattresses. I don't know how that'll work. it's new, and he has to charge $8 a mattress to dispose of it through Ohio. But Ohio got some big grants from the state of Ohio to buy their equipment. So that's why they're able to do it. So
how much a ton are they charging?
They're charging per piece, $8.95 per piece.
$8.95.
That includes transportation and then coming to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. to Watertown and picking them up.
It's cheaper than the other guy charged.
Yeah, he was charging $10 a piece.
$10 a piece.
There's a new company called, I think, First Choice out of Eau Claire. They wanted to charge $8, but then they would have charged him over $700 a load for transportation to his truck. It makes tedious. I don't know if any of you have ever seen him take a mattress apart.
Can I imagine?
It is, what do you call those knives?
Box cutters.
They take a box cutter, peel off the lining, all that. Then they have to take a hammer and chip off the boards. But actually, he found markets for it, which was somebody took all the boards and chipped them up, and actually Menards was selling it for shredded bark or something, or chips. He found companies who bought the polyurethane and all of that stuff, so he did find the markets. But I don't know. It was very disappointing. But that happens. I guess new businesses are very hard to keep going. I have no idea. But then I just wanted to tell you that this year at the first Clean Sweep, which was April 12th, we had 22 farmers come. We have not had that many farmers at a Clean Sweep in a long, long time. The numbers have been going down every year because the farmers are getting bigger, and a lot of the mom and pop farms are out of business, so we just haven't had the farm traveling. We get a lot of parents die, children clean up the farm, they come in and do a farm cleanup, but we were really impressed that 22 came in. That cost us $6,234. So then the household, which is just a residence, was $12,247, and then the drug part of it was $1,181 for a tune of $19,000. The clean sweeps run around 16, 17, so 19 is pushing at the higher end of a clean sweep. And the drugs, we took in 28 pounds of controlled drugs. That is a lot. That is a lot. When we take in the drugs, we have pharmacists there, and we have each of the nurses there, and we empty the bottles and put them in empty because it saves me money on pounds. So this is 28 pounds of pills just in a container, controlled drugs. And if you ever see the sheriff asking what the street value would be, you'd be support. But you could buy the equipment and more, believe me. The gentleman once I bought in a box like this of drugs, and most of them were controlled. The sheriff just went kind of through his books and he said, that's at least 78,000 modestly on the street, probably more. So that's good stuff that we're taking it out. And then the 612 pounds of non-controlled. That's anything from aspirin to vitamins to...
painkillers.
Yeah. Painkillers are the control, usually.
Oh, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even aspirin Tylenol?
What?
Even aspirin Tylenol?
No. Yeah. Control usually has...
the Vicodin and the heavier stuff.
Vicodin, they usually give the heroin aspect, what do they call it?
Opiates.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's what they have in them. And then there's some other ones that are scheduled. It's the scheduled drugs by the federal government that we have to be careful about. So that is kind of sums up the first clean sweep. We have another clean sweep coming up this Saturday in Watertown. So you can bring your light bulbs. We take any kind of light bulb there is, Christmas tree lights, any pesticides, herbicides, anything like that. I think the craziest story I heard at a clean sweep is Fox Lake had a drug collection. A gentleman brought a grenade.
A grenade.
7-year-old Japanese grenade. Needless to say, they had to call a bomb squad and had it happen. It was live. It was still a grenade that had to be open. So please don't bring that. But is there any questions? I mean, I'd like to clarify anything if you have any questions about how we spend our money or what we do with it. If you ever want numbers, I can give you numbers and so, because I do keep very good records. So no question.
No, I don't have no. What are the fees to dump or bring?
Okay, when you come to clean sweep, you charge $10 a vehicle. Just $10.
For
a pickup. You can bring as much as you want. You can call grandma up and bring hers. You can call Aunt Beatrice, bring her stuff. We don't care. We decided to do a vehicle fee. That $10 pays for my mailing, printing. It doesn't pay for disposal. Disposal averages anywhere from $60 to $100 a vehicle if you average it all out. It's not cheap to get rid of hazardous materials. Most of it gets sent to Texas or Illinois. In Wisconsin, we don't have a legal incinerator to dispose of. Most of the chemicals are incinerated. The things that have oil-based, there's a cement factory that actually uses them as fuel. So like your oil-based paint, some of your tars and things like that go to that cement factory. But actually most of the stuff that people bring in, about 15% to 20% of it is recyclable. It's very hard. I mean, you have to think about it. When you bring in a chemical, how many different compounds make up this chemical? So it's pretty hard to break it down and put it back. Now, mercury is very recyclable. We get a lot of mercury in, too. And then for, when you want to get rid of any of your electronics or appliances, that's free. at all the sites. There's no cost to that. I made an agreement with the company, and they shred our contract with a condition of the contract. They pay us back 10 cents a pound for laptops and whole computers. And then everything else they take free. When you recycle a TV, there's no value in it. The little bit of copper that's in the back of the old TV doesn't pay for the labor, and that is very labor intensive, but they take all of that stuff free. And they take appliances. So anything with an electrical cord, anything run by a battery, you can take to our site. And it's free. So, and the drugs, of course, we have 5 sites where you can take the drugs to. And no questions asked. If you find something that you don't think is legal, just put it in a Ziploc and drop it in the bag, and there will be no questions asked. The police departments would rather have it in the barrel than in the container than ask questions. Because we always figure there might be a family where mother's cleaning a room or something and they find something that they don't like in there, and so they don't know what to do with it. So if they drop it in, no questions asked.
Does anybody drive to fill a 20-yard dump truck and get it in for $10? I mean, I would assume that there are trips.
Well, we get pickup loads full. There was one gentleman that came with a pickup load and a trailer. There was a lady that came through the clean sweep and said, can I come back? She had a station wagon and a trailer, and we said, oh yeah, we figured she forgot something. Sure, you can come back. She came back and had
a load.
The men on my committee at one point wanted to maybe charge per pound or do that. You don't have time at a clean sweep to sit there and weigh it and charge. That it would be too cumbersome. So as long as we get our printings and our mailings paid for, I think we're doing good. It's not like we're covering the cost. There's no way. But as long as we have the landfill, and they tell me, when I first started working for Jefferson County, they told me the landfill life was about 11 years. I'm with Jefferson County 13 years. And the last time we asked the gentleman who operates landfill how many years, he figures out to 15. That just shows how the materials have decreased at the landfill. Now that you get all those crazy mattresses out there, there was more space. So anything else that I can clarify or help? Well, thank you for letting me come. And again, we really appreciate your support. And getting it out to the residents and letting them know about the events. Like I said, it's for all the residents. It's not just the Jefferson County program. It's a program for everyone.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to leave you. Oh, Rob Mott said everywhere I am, he says hi. He didn't come with me, but he said, make sure you say hi to the town board. Okay. Thank
all
you.
Right, thank you. Ed.
Thank you.
Okay, the meeting is open to the floor if anyone wants to bring up something. John?
You don't have a deputy here, but what is the speed limit on Highway B from the Waukesha County line to F?
45.
How do you know that?
Because that all town roads are 45 miles an hour.
No, not on B though. B is the
no, B. I'm thinking about yeah. VR.
I know we wanted the same thing because it's 45 as soon as you get into Waukesha County.
Yeah.
All the way down. And then you get to Jefferson County, there's never any sign.
Except if you head west on B.
By the curve.
Then it's 55.
Yeah. So it
and E is 45.
Only past my place.
Yeah. Okay.
Once you get down below the hill, it goes to 50.
55.
But see, otherwise,
so we assume that B between F and the county line and the
it's 55.
55?
Yeah, at all county roads.
That's Farmington.
All county roads are 55, excepting where it's posted, such as past on the Eve and through Farmington and various other places. But otherwise, they don't have signs every couple of miles saying that. It's just automatically understood that's what it is. Yeah.
Any other?
I got something, Bill. I got a couple of phone calls on a couple of sites in our township for enforcing some ordinances. We got property on Elm. People moved in November, December-ish, and all their household garbage since then has been putting garbage bags and piled between their garage and the neighbor's property line. So there's 60 or 100 garbage bags, the household garbage, piled up in the yard. And then we got on Willow Glen, we got a building that's fallen down, and some of the rubble from it falling down is about 2 feet off the paved road.
Yeah,
I believe that's a Mark John's property there.
Mark, I talked to him the other day, and I have talked to Judy Rodi. She's the owner of that barn and stuff. Mark says that he can't say anything about it. Judy is the one that we have to talk to. Okay, if we have to clean it up or whatever.
Because I know, like, town of Milford, they had a couple of properties, and they were told to clean them up, and they didn't. Then Milford cleaned them up and sent them the bill. You don't pay the bill, it goes on the taxes. But I guess the bigger and more pressing one is all the household garbage on Elm.
Well, see, that's a health concern. And
the
county will look into that.
Right, but we want it to proceed, I guess, is without the biggest production as possible. I mean, you get the county involved, and I mean, we want it to get cleaned up, we want to enforce ordinances, but we don't need sheriff department pulling in their driveway either, you know.
Well, the owner whose property it's next to is the person who needs to call, because it's a nuisance to him, and it's a health hazard because of all this garbage. These bags are being torn open by rodents and then dogs and what have you. So it's a health issue, and that they're very strict on. So they'll give them a certain length of time, maybe 30 days or maybe less, and it's either gone or they will come with some pretty hefty fines. But that's the person that needs to contact the county.
Do they know about the transfer site?
Well, I guess that was my thought, is if us as a town board or somebody from the board, they can do it, talk to them, say, here's your option. We have the disposal site, and with them being newer in the community, tell them we got the disposal site in Exonia. You can load up your truck, you take it there, you pay your money. Otherwise, we're going to enforce the ordinances, and here's the next step. I mean,
it's just that we don't have any teeth.
I know, well.
We do. I would get the county involved. And
yeah, but the county, you would.
I mean, if you make the initial contact on it.
It sounds like it would be very reasonable. We've talked to them, maybe right away.
And give them that option and say, if you don't clean it up, just go into the county and...
Maybe they don't know they don't need them.
Yeah,
you know,
first see how they do.
Well, most people that move into town call. I'm sure Brian is getting calls like that. We got them regularly. Where are our dump sites? Which government
board
services
do
you
use?
When they lived in town.
But I mean, one of the timbers from the barn is that far off the road.
Yeah, well, that's a different issue. Yeah, that's totally different.
But I guess you take care of that one and get it progressed. And
so, anyway, I'll call Judy on that one. If you want to go over like tomorrow and just see if we can get a hold of them. Just give me an hour, I'll jump in the truck with you and look over. That way, then we can.
Which house of the three is stopping that?
Right, it's not the. It'd be the second one from the north.
The middle one. The three.
That would be the middle one.
Okay.
I want to think. I talked to Cindy, she said it was sort of raining out, so she didn't come. I think she didn't really have enough
Historical Society. I called her up and asked her in this meeting. I talked to her. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she said she would get more estimates for the roof for the Old Town Hall next month. So.
Okay. Okay, I don't have anything else. Anybody else have anything else? If not,
move adjourn.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Move adjourn.
What about the original?
Oh, I'm sure they want that.
So we got a open website.
Our board review.
Have one anyway.
Oh, I'm just gonna
get May license. All that stuff done for this month. We're gonna have the game now. So
okay,
as long as you got yesterday.
But I will. I do want to take a look at it.
Yeah, we're in May.
I will look at this week to make sure I'll either well.